and to minister in Jordan. And thank you for the ministry that they were able to do it in your name. That isn't all forgotten now. Thank you that you continue to work through other people. Thank you for the great work. And we thank you for their new work they're doing in Sydney. And we do ask that you would continue to grow that work and open doors for them. And also we ask that you'd help their family as well. A big adjustment in coming from one country to another. And we pray, Lord, that you would help Jonathan and Hannah to really love you and turn to you as well. And Lord, I just thank you for this word that we're going to look at tonight, your book. I pray that you would help us and encourage us as we look at it now. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I thought I might start off by sharing with you about a story that Di will know about. There was an adventure. I seem to always go on adventures, but this adventure happened in 2009 involving Di and Dennis and Colin and I. And we were on some of you heard this story, we were on a cruise ship on the beautiful South China Sea heading from Da Nang, Vietnam to Hong Kong. And this particular day, as we're going along, things really changed. And we ended up having a very interesting day. Around about midday, the flat sea that started in the morning had become a huge sea with 10-metre waves. And it was incredible. 10-metre waves, every wave going straight over the bow of the ship. The ship was filling up with water. They couldn't keep up with it, pumping the water out. The Filipino people who were looking after the, you know, sort of doing all the lovely jobs around the place, they were terrified because their quarters, which were in the second level, were all flooded. And we had waves coming up to the sixth level of the boat. And so it was really rocking and reeling. And even the boat, you could hear a creaking and groaning as the metal stretched. And what do you reckon, eh? Pretty good place to be. Fantastic. So after we prayed and calmed down with the Lord's peace on our heart, the next thing that we realised we should be doing, because we thought maybe this is it, is we should be sharing Jesus with people and comforting and caring for others. And that's what we did. I remember being involved in conversations and realising this could be it. So what do you do? Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Yeah. So we didn't die though. God's will was for us to be here still. And so after all settled down, I really felt led. I shared with Colleen. I really felt led that we should get permission to see if we can run a church service and have a Thanksgiving service. Because as I began to talk about that, quite a number of people wanted to do that. So that was great, eh? So on this ship, it's run by Italians who are very Catholic-y, sort of. So they're a little bit against it to start with. Who am I? But then they said yes. So we had quite a number of people, a large number of people come for a Thanksgiving service. So where am I going with this story? Well, I remember Psalm 107. I'm going to read to you what I read out on the ship when we're going from Hong Kong to Manila, because we're only halfway through the cruise, from Hong Kong to Manila, having this church service, and I read these words out. So let's have a look at them. So they're in the middle part of the psalm, Psalm 107, 23-32. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths, their soul melted away in their misery. We could relate to that. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. See why I read that out? You see any connection to what we went through? Yeah. So we wanted to give thanks to God for his loving kindness to us and sparing us. And so we did that together. I also shared with them about from Mark chapter 4. I wonder why I shared that. Well, that's the story of Jesus, and I've got everyone to picture. Can you imagine if someone was on that boat who happened to just go out and say, peace be still, and the whole ocean was still, what would you think of that person?
And it just came home to us, like how awesome that is. Like for Jesus to have done that, can you imagine the disciples being absolutely like taken back? Who is this man? That's what they said. Who is this man who stills the storm? And so it was really great to be thankful and to reflect upon the Lord sparing us from that cruise. But in recent times, I've been going through Psalm 107, and I just want to explore it with you tonight. It's a beautiful psalm where God's loving kindness, his loving deeds toward us is extolled. And there's a few different scenarios that are mentioned, and I know it's in the context of Israel of old, but I want to relate it to us as well. And I want us to be going home tonight being so thankful for God's loving kindness. It's a beautiful Hebrew word, and it's a very strong word, hasdazat, which means it's not just love, it's translated often as love, it's a tender love. God has a tender love toward us, and it's a beautiful thing to take hold of. So let's have a look at this psalm. So I'm going to read in sections. We'll be reading the whole psalm, bit by bit. So Psalm 107, the beginning part is 1 to 3. And it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." You've probably heard of that phrase before. You should have. It's a common one. Let me say it again. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." So this psalm begins with, give thanks to the Lord. Consider his loving kindness. And who is the one who is to respond to this? It says there, the redeemed. And the context is Israel. Those of Israel who had faith in God, they were the redeemed ones. And they especially were to arise and to give thanks to God for his loving kindness. When I think of that word redeemed though, can we relate to that? Absolutely. Because we also are the redeemed. Do you know that? Even more than Israel, we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, and we have every reason to give thanks to the Lord because of his loving kindness to us in Jesus. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, "You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." We have been redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Jesus Christ has paid the price for our salvation. We have been redeemed. We were slaves of sin. We were subjects of Satan. We've been redeemed. And if the psalmist was full of praise to God for being a redeemed person, how much more we should when we think of what Christ has done for us. So as it says in the psalm there, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Hope you can be like that, full of thankfulness for God's loving kindness to us. And I love these verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 107. It speaks about the redeemed and how the redeemed are the people gathered from the land, from east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And it made me think of a wonderful verse in Revelation chapter 5, where it says about Jesus, it says there, "Worthy are you," Revelation 5 verse 9, "worthy are you, for you were slain and purchased for God," that's the language of redemption, "purchased for God with your blood, men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." We're a people from all lands that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. So let us be thankful for the loving deeds of our God. We have been redeemed. Should be excited about that. Redeemed ones. All right. Now there's a whole series of things why we should be praising God. Let's look at the next one. We'll read verses 4 to 9. "They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." I love this. There's another section. We're not talking about being redeemed now. We're talking about the great God who satisfies us. Do you pick up on it? So what story is being presented there? Probably the way God satisfied the people of Israel, the children of Israel, during their wanderings in the wilderness. Alright? So do you know the story? You should know. That place where they went from Egypt to the Promised Land, what kind of country is that country? It is the most barren land you can think of. Some of us have been to the Negev. I think Ken and Fran have, and Colin and I did in 2019, pretty close to Aqaba, you know, not far from Aqaba. It's pretty barren. It's just like desert, and it's just harsh. We went also down to Mount Sinai, and down in the Sinai Peninsula. It is just like harsh. It is dry as, there's no greenery, there is no water, no food. It's just hot and freezing cold in the winter. That's how it is. So how would you be, eh? If you were for 40 years in the wilderness, how would you be? Man, I tell you what, I'd be groaning and complaining, I reckon. But God knew their situation, and he tested them out. And when they cried out to the Lord, as we read here, he provided for them. He satisfied them. And we know in the Bible, in the Exodus account, that the Lord provided manna, food from heaven. He provided water, even out of a rock. He even gave them a special pillar of cloud by day to protect them from the sun, and a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm in the desert. Do you realise how incredible that would have been? God satisfied them. And so what a wonderful response. It says here, the psalmist says, in the light of God satisfying them, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. That's the key here. It's not because they deserve it. They were grumblers and complainers most of the time. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He has filled with what is good. And you know, as I think about this, can you see the parallel for us? You know, we're not Israel of old. We are the children of the Lord Jesus. We are his people. What about for us? I hope you know enough scripture to know the Lord Jesus speaks about us being satisfied by him. And that we also should realise how much we should be thankful to the Lord for his loving kindness to us. He has come into our world not just to save our soul, but to satisfy us as we live here on earth. And two great passages on that found in John's Gospel are these ones. It says in John chapter 6 verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Do you believe that? Do you experience that? It's Jesus who actually satisfies you, and nothing else compares to it. And then John chapter 7, 37 and 38. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And friends, we should be able to relate to this. We live, especially in the days we live, in a spiritual wilderness. It's spiritually dry out there. And how good it is to know that this Lord Jesus, like he gave satisfaction to the people of old in the wilderness, he's able to satisfy us fully. We don't have to look anywhere else. Even in our harsh environment, our spiritually harsh environment, the Lord Jesus satisfies us if we look to him. And this psalm's about this too. Give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. All right, got to keep moving, otherwise I'll be here all night. But it's lovely to look at the whole psalm. So that's what I want to do tonight. We're going to look at verses 10 to 16. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled their heart with labour. They stumbled and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men, for he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. What do you reckon of that? What's that talking about? Well, the setting probably is about Israel rebelling against God and God having to discipline his people by bringing another country or nation upon them, and they would rule over them. You know, you hear of the Arameans and the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Assyrians, and God had all these people that he could raise up to bring discipline to his people. And you can imagine these people coming in. You would feel like a prisoner in your own land, wouldn't you? And you know, they are there, they're ruling and reigning, taking all the food off the crops so you can't have anything, and you're just suffering, you know, it's like the shadow of darkness, you're in despair. And what this part of the psalm is saying is, but listen to what the Lord does. As his people cried out to the Lord, behold his loving kindness. What did he do? I think the phrase to me would be, he set them free. He set them free from those who ruled over them. He set them free from despair and darkness and death. The Lord set them free. And they're here, and the psalmist has another reason why God's people should be filled with thankfulness to his loving kindnesses. And again, I can't help but think, well, I can relate to this too, can you? I think of how in Jesus, I've been set free. You've been set free if you're in Christ. Isn't that true? You know, we once were so in despair of life. We were lost in our sin, and we were caught up in Satan's camp, and yet our Lord Jesus has come and has set us free. One of the verses that comes to my mind in the New Testament is Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. What a verse. Christ came to set us free through his death and resurrection. And when I think of that, how my response should also be like we read here. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. He has set us free. Okay, let's now look at verses 17 to 22. This is the next section. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Another little group of verses. Another reason to praise the Lord. What's this about? Well, I think this is a picture for Israel of old of how they are not doing too well in their health. They are suffering from sicknesses, maybe from pestilence, from all sorts of things, and they call out to the Lord. And what does it say about the Lord? He heals them. Behold the loving kindness of God. Even though they had rebelled against the Lord healed them. And what should the response be? Give thanks to the Lord. As we see so often, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. And again, as a Christian, I just love the fact that our Lord Jesus has come into our world to bring healing to our soul. And he can also heal us physically if he chooses to. And if he chooses not to, one day we're going to have the most glorious healing out. We will be healed of aging. Yay! We'll be healed of disease and death. And I've got to read to you from Revelation chapter 21, 4 and 5. Revelation 21, 4 and 5. It says, talking about the final thing, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he sits on the throne and said, behold, I'm making all things new. Wow. There's so many reasons to praise the Lord. You get it? We're going through this psalm. The Lord is good. He is better than you can ever imagine. His loving kindness should blow our mind away. I feel like as Christians so often we have just like a little snippet of it all. We are so narrow in our thinking of who God is and what a great and good God he is. Even here, the psalmist is already so caught up in it. We should be more so. Because what Christ has done for us is beyond compare. He heals us. The Lord is our healer. Right, we're going to keep going. Well, we've already read the next section. So I won't read it again. That was how I related it to the boat thing. But when I think about that, I want to think about something else. We all have close calls, I reckon. Some people have more close calls than others. And God keeps us alive. And yeah, you might be thinking, Ian, yeah, you should know this. I do. You know, with chainsaws in hand, climbing up big trees. And it wasn't just on one boat, there was another boat trip we thought we were going to die. And oh man, don't go with us on a cruise, right? But I look at life and I go, Lord, you have spared me and you spared Colleen. You have spared us. You spared us more times than I can imagine, I can remember. On the road, or it doesn't matter. Or maybe you have a sickness and you think you're going to die, but then you're healed. And God spares us. And in every time he spares us, even though as a Christian, it's great to go home to be with the Lord, every time he spares us, it's another example of his loving kindness. His loving kindness to you. To keep you still here. You've got a purpose. You've got a reason to be here. And we should be so thrilled in wanting to praise the Lord. To say those words that we read there, where is it? In verse 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. That's how it should be for us. And I think of the greatest rescue, not just from our physical death, but the great rescue from spiritual death. And I think this is a huge thing. I take seriously the fact that there is a judgment of God for all people, that there is a real hell, an eternity in hell for those who don't come to know Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And I look at the gospel and I look at it and I can't get over the fact that I, a guilty sinner, have been rescued, not just from physical harm, but spiritual harm, eternal spiritual harm. Let me read a few verses. Galatians chapter 1, 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us out of the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Hear the word rescue? 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. It's speaking of the Thessalonian Christians. It says of them that we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Wow, that's full on. What a rescue. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his loving kindness to us. We're getting to the end. All right, next one we're going to read quite a few verses here, 33 to 41. And then we have the final two summary verses, 33 to 41. He changes, that's God, he changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So God is able to bring punishment to those who are away from him. But then it says he changes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell so that they may establish an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. And he blesses them and they multiply greatly and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction, and makes his families like a flock. What's all that about? Well, just to summarise it really quick, another wonderful aspect of the loving kindness of God, the Lord loves to lift up the downcast, to help the poor and the needy. You're part of that ministry. God loves that kind of ministry. He's always had a heart like that. And it's God's great delight and joy to lift up, to help the poor, the lonely, the destitute. Surely you've seen that as you look at the Bible. To welcome the foreigner, all those kind of things. This is our God's heart. And here's another wonderful reason why we should give thanks to God for his loving kindness. What a loving, kind God, that he should care for the lowly and the poor and the destitute. But you know, as I think about that, spiritually speaking, I look at us as Christians in our Western world, here we are in the city of Perth, and I look at us, lot, here we are, what a mob we are, And we are very quickly becoming, in our culture, the despised, the rejected, the put down people. And God has a heart for us. He knows what's going on. And what's God's desire? He will. What's key in this last section is He will sustain you. The Lord will sustain you. You don't have to worry. I will look after you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Life can get really tough for a Christian now, but the Lord will sustain. And there are so many beautiful verses on this. Just one that comes to mind is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which you all should know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will sustain you through it all. He promises. And He also promises to never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us to sustain us and help us. And He sees us. He sees us now as the people in the world who are the rejected, the downtrodden. That's who we are. That's what we're becoming very quickly in our Western world. But the Lord will sustain you. And our response is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for how good is He. What loving kindness we have in our God. Right, two more verses to go. These are like the summary verses, the punchline. When I read this psalm, it was these two verses that just oh, I don't know, how do you describe it? You're reading the Bible and just melted me. You know, just hit me so hard. And here it is. It says here, the upright see it and are glad, but all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. What do you reckon of that final part? I love it, don't you? It tells me things, really important things. The upright, it says, see it. What do they see? They see the loving kindness of the Lord. And it challenged me, do I see it? Do I see every day God's loving kindness to me? Do I see it? Am I wise? Am I a wise person in verse 43 who not only sees it, but I long to be on that right road? The road where I see the loving kindnesses of God and I have turned my back on the world and on the ways of the world. And am I a person who considers the loving kindnesses of the Lord each day to meditate upon it so that it might thrill my soul and fill my soul with song, not even in church, but even during the week? How about that? You can sing during the week because of who the Lord is and His loving kindnesses to us. We did a bit of a list tonight in those passages. These are the things that I mentioned. These are the things that should thrill our soul if we are in Jesus. When I think of God's goodness to us and His loving kindnesses to us, the big things we've looked at is we have been redeemed. We have been satisfied. We have been set free. We have been healed. We have been rescued and we have been sustained by a God there's no one to compare Him to, who's full of goodness and loving kindness to us who are in Christ. And our testimony should be, amen, because He's real. It's not just for one person or the super Christian, no such thing. For all those who put their trust in the Lord, He's faithful to all. How good is our God, eh? Oh yeah, so there you go. I know time's gone. We won't have discussion tonight, but you can meditate upon the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Before you go to bed tonight, take some time to give thanks to God for His tender loving kindnesses towards you. You make it personal and real. Just be so delighted in Him. And you can do that even when life's tough. Even when you're going through hard circumstances. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Father, I thank You for that psalm that I remember in 2009 coming into my heart in regards to the storm we went through on the water. And thank You for how I remembered the words there about how You spared us because of Your loving kindness. And Lord, thank You for over the years I've come to realise that this psalm speaks not just about being rescued from physical injury and death, but You are such a loving, kind God. And it tells us there that we are to be consider Your loving kindnesses to us. And I ask that You would help us all to do that. That in the stillness now, and even tonight, before we go to sleep, we might remember how good You have been to us. Help us to take it in that you have been so gracious in dealing with us. We are sinners, guilty as. You have been so loving and kind to us. We thank you that you've done that through your Son Jesus. Thank you that not only has he saved us, but he has so blessed us and given us his Spirit. And we are so thankful to you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done for us. I thank you for the way that you have helped Owen and Vicky. They touched on it. It was really tough for them to leave Jordan and to come to Australia. And thank you for helping them, that your loving kindness in their life sustained them and helped them in that move. Thank you that you reassure them that they're still on your plan A for their life, even though we feel like we failed, something's messed up. Thank you for your loving kindness in helping them into a new ministry, a beautiful ministry in Western Sydney. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us in all the ways, all the different things of life. Yeah, and I just want to say to you, Lord, in the words of that psalm, we do give thanks to you, for you are good, and your loving kindness is everlasting. And we just want to say amen to that and praise your name tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.